So the title for my homily this morning is Persistent Prayer. As you well know, our Lord tells parables all the time. And his parables have different sort of structure and style to them. The style and structure of this parable is a comparison from the lesser to the greater. From the lesser to the greater. He begins by talking about a woman who goes to a judge. And as the story makes very clear, this judge does not want to give the woman the justice that is rightly hers. But because of her persistence, the judge says, I've had enough of her, I will follow through and do what she requests. And so here is a judge who is corrupt, self-serving, and as the parable said, he had no fear of God and no respect for anyone. And yet because of the persistence of this woman, he gives her justice. Jesus' point is this. If a corrupt judge will respond positively to the persistent request of a widow, will not our good God respond even more positively to the persistent prayers of his people? And as our Lord says, will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Now, I want to think about this at a couple of levels. We have to, first of all, hear Scripture within its context. So for the original hearers of the parable, and as it's set here in Luke's gospel, what does Jesus mean about this justice? Well, in Luke's gospel, at chapter 9, verse 59, we have this very key verse. St. Luke tells us, that at that point, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. And the whole of the movement of the Gospel of Luke from 9:59 to its conclusion is Jesus going to Jerusalem. And what's going to happen there? He is going to enact the greatest justice of all, where sin will be defeated, the devil will be given his clear marching orders, and our salvation will be established. And so when Jesus says, will not God grant justice to his chosen ones, who are his chosen ones? Well, in this context, it's the apostles. It's those who are accompanying the Lord to Jerusalem. And there, they will see at first what appears to be the grossest injustice that the world has ever seen with Jesus dying on the cross. But the injustice of Good Friday from a human perspective will lead through to the justice of Easter Sunday. And indeed, in the lives of the apostles, they will see the fulfillment of this in their lives as they will then go out into the whole world and declare, never give up on God. Persist in prayer. Never become disheartened. Because that's how the parable begins, isn't it? We're told that Jesus shared this parable so that we would be encouraged to pray always and not lose heart. It's so good to have these words because it tells us the meaning of the parable and why Jesus told it. Have you ever lost heart? Have you ever had that time where it's discouraging, where it is hard to continue in the faith? And part of the reason Luke continues and contains this parable is he's a pastor. He knows that this is a struggle that we all have. And so, what are we called to do? We are invited to this persistence in prayer. And so, of course, we live on the other side of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But we're part of the church that out of those events has not only been established, but has continued to grow over the course of 2 millennia. And when I was thinking about this idea of persistence in prayer, I thought, what a gift it is to have Catholic spirituality. In my days when I was a Protestant, so much of my prayer was my own effort. I had to originate it, I had to make it happen, and it was all about me. But in discovering the fullness of our Catholic spirituality, one of the things that I've come to appreciate is that we share in the life of persistent prayer. First and foremost in the Mass, where we're able to gather every day in order to celebrate the mysteries of our redemption, the justice of the cross. It's represented to us every day as we read through the scriptures in a systematic and repeated way. And then for those who are called to the life of the priesthood, to the religious life, and indeed many more lay people are now participating in this, the Church gives us the Liturgy of the Hours, where every day, in a consecutive manner, we read through the scriptures, we read through the Psalms, we read through big parts of the Bible. So the Mass, the Liturgy of the Hours, form the bedrock of our persistent prayer. But we add to that the Rosary. We add to that the Divine Mercy Chaplet and all sorts of other Catholic prayers that we join in together, because the beauty of how we pray as Catholics is we pray in community. And when we're learning more and more to pray in community, we'll be less disheartened because we're sharing together in this beautiful fellowship, in this joint effort of prayer. Prayer is so important because prayer also changes us. Prayer changes me, so that more and more what I desire is what God desires. And it also provides the means through which and by which we can grow in faith. Because Jesus seems to be very clear at the end of this gospel. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And again, another thing about our Catholic Church. Regardless of the place, regardless of the time or the century, regardless of the crisis, the Church has always been present to be the community of faith, so that it's not just your faith, it's not just my faith, it is indeed our faith. And the more we discover the reality of this beautiful way of persistent prayer, then it strikes me how we as a community can touch others. In that first reading that Lilo did from 3 John, this is a very short letter, it's only 15 verses long. St. John is speaking to a man who has welcomed visitors into his home, people he hasn't known. And this man, Gaius, has shown them incredible hospitality and generosity. We think actually that the people that are visiting Gaius's home are missionaries. And they've come to be with Gaius. He is going to provide for their physical needs and some financial needs so that they can be sent on their way. And it struck me, as I was thinking about Gaius's generosity, right now there are people watching our live stream from the United States, maybe even from other parts of the world. I know one woman who regularly watches our live stream from Ireland. People that we do not know, but people who are being welcomed into our home the way Gaius welcomed brothers and sisters into his home. And so may we give thanks for the home that is the Church, this community of generosity, this community of justice, this community of persistent prayer.